For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Yes, hello, welcome to the Monday Waffle, episode 12. My name is Jake Batrick. With me in the studio this week is the Cash Money, Josh. Joshua Money, mate, how are we going?
Yeah, really well, Batter. I thought I'd make a return to the podcast.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time in between drinks, hasn't it?
Yeah, but doesn't matter. You're still smashing the tipping competition, which we'll get to a bit later.
I'm really here to gloat, to be honest, Jake.
You're very up and about. You're proud of yourself?
Yeah, I mean, as we will reveal later, I think I'm 11 from 12 in the last 3 weeks. So
yeah,
in a real purple patch, and I just wanted to come in and share some insight with our very valued listener here at the Monday Waffle.
I like it. Hey, we're going to kick straight into the first game. Big weekend of footy. A lot of different results. It's shaped the table in a way that a few teams won't like. We're going to kick straight into Peel. It was the mini derby on Sunday. The Thunder hosted East Perth at Bendigo Bank Stadium in Mandurah. It was a fascinating contest. The Thunder prevailed in the end 17-12, 114 to 13-14, 92 to grab themselves a much-needed 22-point win. Now, the most important thing about this one, Josh, is Peel now move up into equal second on the ladder, which is unheard of territory for Peel. Now, I don't know if they're going to stay there. They've never played finals in their 13-year history. I think it's a bit longer than that.
They have been so consistently inconsistent this year. I think they got off to just a terrible start, and then they won about four games in a row, and then they lost a couple, and now they've found some form again. So I cannot pick them. And they got out against my beloved Royals because East Perth got off to a flyer as well.
Yeah.
I think they kicked four of the last five goals in that first quarter, and they got out to a big lead at the start. And very, very consistently inconsistent.
Exactly right. Now, when I say they haven't made finals in their 13-year history, I did in fact mean 23-year history.
Right.
They've been in the competition. So now, I did say earlier on this season that Peel would make the finals if they can keep some of those Dockers players in and around the squad consistently. And this week they certainly did that. Josh, are you going to run through some stats for me, big fella?
Yeah, that's right. And I think it is really important. They do seem to play a lot better when they've got some Dockers boys in the mix. Zach Clark chipped in with a couple of goals, 17 touches as well. Griffin as well with 15 touches. And then the likes of De Boer, who had 33 touches of the ball, really controlled the midfield, and I think was probably one of the telling differences, and because that game was won in the midfield, and I think Peel overcame there. Goal kickers for Peel, Leroy Jeddah was huge again, 4 goals, 2, and Gerald Ugle, who's a young boy from Guildford Grammar, who's got a sweet left foot on him, and just a real athlete, and he's definitely one to watch for the future, and they just got the job done, kicking goals.
Yeah, speaking of future, Connor Blakely's another one. He's been in pretty good form lately. 24 disposals, 11 kicks, 13 handballs, 5 marks, which is always handy, and 3 tackles. So he's putting a bit of pressure on and creating a few chances. So I like the look of him. For the Royals, well, I don't know really where to for the Royals now. They're out of the 5, because I keep going to say 4, but it's a 5 this year. On percent, they still have a healthy percentage. I think it's second best in the comp, actually, but I just can't string enough bloody wins together. I don't know what's going on down there at Royal Land, but
yeah, I was going to ask you, because I'm obviously biased and I'm a one-eyed Royals fan, but I mean, what do you think is going wrong?
I think it's the same problem Perth are having at the moment, when you need to win games if you have a lot of contributors, and I don't think East Perth are having too many people through the midfield contributing consistently and well enough. I mean, their leading disposal getter was Brendan Lee. He had 34 disposals, which is handy. But then we go down the page, and then it was pretty dire from there. So we go down the page. Kane Lucas had 30. Gary Moss had 20. So it was just there wasn't enough people getting enough of the ball. And as we said with Perth this year, Perth are playing some good footy. They just need more ball winners to get their wins. So
I mean, I wouldn't quite put East Perth's problems in the same bracket as Perth.
Yeah,
they've got a few more more things to work through.
But it's a similar situation at the moment. Obviously, the Royals haven't got a lot of Eagles players playing at the moment. Obviously, the Eagles have got their defensive woes, so a lot of the players have to step up from East Perth to go and play for the Eagles. So
I think it has hurt. It has hurt. Let's be honest. The Eagles, especially defensive depletion, has sort of picked a few holes in East Perth this year.
Absolutely. I mean, even the goal kickers. It was Paul Johnson, the ruckman. So he's doing a lot of the work. He had 27 hitouts and kicked two goals himself. So yeah, they just need more players consistently getting their hands on the footy, kicking goals, creating chances, and I think if they can sort that out, they'll definitely be on the right track. We're going to take a look at the fixtures for both teams heading into next weekend. Peel have the bye, so that's happy days for them.
Yeah, they should coast through that one, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a pretty easy contest for them. And
only one team in it, really. That's
exactly. And East Perth are hosting East Frio, who... We'll get to East Frio shortly, but they've got problems of their own down there at Shark Park. But yeah, the Royals and East Frio, look, it's going to be a very, very tight contest. Both teams need a win. For me personally, I think the Sharks are going to do them.
Do you?
Yeah, well, they played recently and East Perth got over the line. But so the East Perth are hosting the Sharks down at Medibank Stadium in Leederville. Now, to be honest, Josh, you could flip a coin and whatever you land on, that's who's going to win this game. That's how close I think.
Look, I reckon, given my tipping record at the moment, whoever I say is going to win will probably come through with the 4 points. I think the Royals, once again, one eye, but I think the Royals will get through. They'll be strong enough there at Medibank Stadium with the home crowd behind them. I think they'll be strong enough to knock down an East Fremantle who've had their internal issues of late. And I know they only just lost on the weekend, but... I think East Perth will be too strong.
Yeah, I think the Sharks will bounce back to an extent, but I think East Perth will bounce back even harder. So the Royals, for me...
A lot of bouncing.
A lot of bouncing. So stay tuned next week and we'll give you the review of that one.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
On the line now, we have Channel 7's Mark Reddings. Mark, how's it going?
G'day, guys. I hope you've had a great weekend.
Surely did. Now, Mark, it was a huge weekend of waffle footy in terms of the ladder, and the Tigers have pounced into the top five with a win against the Demons.
Yeah, five wins in a row for Claremont, which comes off the back of five losses to start the season. So Michael Broadbridge pretty happy to square the ledger halfway through the season. They were pretty good against the Demons on Sunday afternoon. They won by 44 points and a real clinic put on by a couple of forwards, in particular Shane McAdam with five goals for the Tigers. And at the other end of the ground, Jared Morton outstanding for the Demons with seven. But they were outclassed. Perth and Claremont, you'd have to say, now that they're in the five, are going to be pretty tough to displace.
Yeah, Mark, I was going to ask you about young Shane McAdam. Would we say he's probably one of the best small forwards in the competition at the moment?
Absolutely. That's the first time I've seen him, to be honest. I know he kicked four goals in a quarter playing reserves last year, which caught the eye of the league coaching committee, but he was outstanding yesterday. He was very innovative and around goals, just so clever. You get the feeling that he's one of those players in the next two or three years that could really stamp himself as one of the best in the competition. Shane Yaron, of course, if he is classed as small forward, probably the pick at the moment, but Shane McAdam, he got all the tricks, no doubt about that.
And Mark Seabee seems to be finding some form, had 22 disposals along with 8 marks and 31 hitouts. How pivotal is he going to be going into the finals, or possibly for the Tigers this year?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Mark Seabee, a bit like Kepler Bradley and some of these ex-AFL players, they just bring that experience. He's a big body, and not only the hitout side of his game, getting the ball down to his midfielders inside the centre square, so important to win those clearances, but he's doing work at ground level, and he's always been pretty good overhead. He moves across the ground well, so no question, when he's up and about, the Tigers look a really promising side. And as I said, they've got Subiaco this week on the weekend, on Saturday. They would fancy their chances to cause an upset, and it would be an upset because Subiaco, in really good touch themselves, were beating South Fremantle on the weekend. But this is their big test, Claremont, on Saturday.
Mark, you spoke about the Tigers going five losses off the top and now five wins in a row. What do you think's changed for them?
Well, maybe just a bit of continuity with personnel. I think they had players like Bo Meister, who was suspended for a few weeks and had a few concerns injury-wise, a few players just getting some continuity under their belt. It also takes maybe just a few weeks to get some chemistry with some of the players. We, as I said, we didn't see a lot of Claremont in the first part of the season. They were beaten by Perth, in fact, by 9 points. So, obviously, from Michael Broadbridge's point of view, they had to adjust a few things. But from what we saw yesterday, their midfield, really strong blokes like Busher and Ledger, Neat's getting plenty of the footy. They've got the nucleus of a really strong centre square contingent that could cause some issues deep into September.
And finally, Mark, who can punters catch this weekend in the Waffle on Channel 7?
Yes, at the showgrounds it'll be. Claremont's home ground for the time being. It will be the Tigers, once again on 7. They're hosting Subiaco. Should be a really good game. These two sides have had a great history of terrific contests between them. And as I said, fifth position for Claremont, Subiaco on top. They're really flying, Subi. This is the litmus test for the Tigers and Michael Broadbridge.
Sounds like a ripping game on the cards. Mark Reddings, thanks for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks, Mark.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Despite all the drama of last week, the Sharks put in a gallant effort against the Swans. The Swans ended up prevailing 12-7-79 to 11-8-74. Now, the Sharks obviously had a tumultuous week with their coach Steve Malaxis resigning. We filled you in on that situation last week as we were about to speak to Matthew Jupp. And he called in on his way in and said he couldn't talk because the coach had resigned. So that was good for us. We had to think on our feet, but we'll be talking to Matthew Jupp very shortly this week. So, yeah, disappointing result for the Sharks, Joshy. They just look, they're in a bit of a tight squeeze at the moment.
They played a lot better footy than they did last week. Obviously, they got a big thumping by the reigning Premier, Subi. 48 points they lost by. Malaxis has walked out the club. Rumours are, we'll talk to Juppy about this, but the rumours are that he felt he didn't have the support of his players, which always makes it pretty hard as a coach if your players aren't willing to play for you. So if that is true, we'll find out. They'll be feel hard done by to come out of a tight loss. You know, new coach coming in. Normally, sometimes you see it galvanises a team and might have a little bit on the weekend, but didn't quite bring them enough to get them over the line. The Swans too good.
That's right. Now, it does make for interesting reading in terms of the ladder. Now, the Swans win brings them up to 20 points. Now, the funny thing is, Josh, from 5th down to 6th, 7th, 8th, so 5th to 8th are all on 20 points. So that last position in the top 5 is occupied by Claremont in 5th, and then all the way down to East Freo. They're all on 20 points. So, yeah, East Freo, if they had got over the line, they certainly would be, they'd be equal 2nd. So that just shows you how close this competition is at the moment, nearing the midway of the season. So, yeah, disappointing result for the Sharks. They really felt, I reckon they would have felt they should have won on the weekend, and they would be bitterly disappointed to lose that one. They had some good players, the Sharks. We're going to run through the stats now. So for the Sharks, Liam Anthony had another good game. He had 31 disposals, 20 kicks, 11 handballs, 8 marks and 3 tackles. So solid performance by him. Jamie McNamara had 34 disposals, 12 marks, 22 kicks and 12 handballs. So fantastic by him. Rory O'Brien, always good, had 26 disposals and a goal. The goal kickers for the Sharks was Robert Young. He kicked 3 goals, 1, so pretty solid from him. And Fraser Perry also booted 3, so a pretty good spread of goal kickers for the Sharks. So yeah, the Sharks will be disappointed. Josh, who played well for the Swans?
Matthew Jukes was really a big standout for the Swans. He kicked that last goal as well as they held on for the 5-point victory. Played really well, 4 goals. Banfield kicked a couple as well. They were the only multiple goal kickers, so they really shared the points around. Aaron Ilari racked up 34 touches for the Swans. Adam Faulkner, 28. Jacob Burnham, 22. Matty Rogers, 22 as well as Matt Riggio. So really a lot of players getting a lot of touches on the ball, and I think it was a team effort.
Yeah, and their ruckman, Nathan Blakely, He had 24 hit-outs, so I think that was the most on the ground. No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all.
Nope.
Nope.
No, it wasn't.
Sharks ruckman Jack Fletcher had 34, so yeah. But as I said, Nathan Blakely, he had 24 hit-outs and also had 21 disposals. So, I mean, a pretty well-rounded performance from your ruckman, and that's what you want. 4 marks and 9 tackles to go with that, so pretty solids from the Swans. Now, it's about time the Swans played well, because they've needed to play well for a while. And as we said before, that moves them a couple of runs up the ladder. When I say a couple, I mean one. Now, they've got some pretty healthy percentage. Their percentage is the fifth best in the competition. So the Swans, if they can string a couple of wins together, they will soon be very much in the mix for finals this year, as are pretty much the majority of the competition. So, to run us through the Sharks, last fortnight, we have their star defender Matthew Jupp on the line. Matthew Jupp, how are you going, buddy?
Very good, thanks, guys.
Excellent. Now, look, Matty, we have a bit of housekeeping to get out of the way. Steve Malaxos resigned last week. Has that drama had a huge effect on the playing group?
Look, obviously, it was a bit of a shock to the system. Steve's a great of our footy club. He's won a premiership as a captain at this footy club. So, big loss to our footy club, and it's disappointing to see him go. But it's business as usual. You sort of need to move on as quick as possible, because you sit there and dwell on it, and before you know, your season's finished. So while it has been shocking and obviously slightly disruptive, we've tried to turn it around as quick as possible and move on. And I believe, I know our result on the weekend doesn't show, but the playing group is definitely moving on from it and turning over a new stone.
Matty, a lot of the talk was that Malaxos felt that he didn't have the backing of the playing group anymore. Is there any truth in that?
Look, I don't think there's much truth in that. I mean, Steve met with the board last week, and their discussion hasn't been open to the playing group. We're not sure what was discussed. All we know is that at the end of that discussion that Steve decided to resign. And, that's all that sort of, as a playing group, we know of.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very sticky situation. Is the group hoping to put all that behind you guys and really push for the finals this season? And how are you going to go about that?
Yeah, well, we've appointed an interim coach in Brad Dodd, who's his main emphasis since taking over has been fixing on our defensive side of our footy. So we're still very, very confident we can make finals and challenge for a premiership. Let's get that's straight off the record. We think we can still win the flag. I mean, while Steve's resigning, it's disruptive in a way. It doesn't mean that we think that this season's finished. So the playing group are firmly focused on fixing up the defensive side of our game and potentially pushing through, getting into finals and then going all the way.
Mate, you spoke about your close defeat on the weekend. How does it work now as a playing group heading into the clash against the Royals? You've got the interim coach in. What's the plan and where do you go from here?
So we played the Royals round one of the year and we convincingly beat them. So we've got the wood over them already this year. We're a little bit out of form. We haven't had a win for a couple of weeks. So but we have been marginally getting better, and it was a real close loss on the weekend. And with Dottie, it's all about defensive pressure, defensive mindset, and if we can piece our defensive game together, we're going to win the game. It's simple as that. If we play the way we want to play, the result will come. So we don't focus on results. We don't have a results based focus, I should say. We're more focused on getting our KPIs right, doing what we can do individually and as a team, and we know the result will take care of itself.
All right, mate. Well, we wish you all the best and good luck on the weekend as well.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Good to talk to you.
I'm Dennis Scametti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
Sunday's game between Subiaco and South Fremantle was set to be a blockbuster. The Lions have shown impressive form all season, while the Bulldogs were hoping for the hat-trick after two solid wins. But it was Subi who took out the win in a low-scoring game, ending in a 22-point home ground victory over South. The Bulldogs fought hard but couldn't come back from a disappointing first quarter, going down 6-8-44 to the Lions 9-12-66. The teams were well matched throughout the game, with the Lions dominating in the first quarter, only to be outdone by the Bulldogs in the second. It was a low-scoring third quarter with just one goal kicked by Subi before the fourth saw each team kick two. Subiaco were down to a skeleton team. Key players Darren Rumble, Brett Robinson and Hayden Kennedy were all sidelined with injuries during the first half. But the rest of the team showed why Subiaco have been top of the ladder all season. Lachlan Delahunty was best on ground for the Lions. He had 2 goals and 20 disposals while helping out with 15 hit-outs. Kyle Halligan battled inaccurate form inside 50 to boot 3, while Sam Manigola was strong in the midfield with 25 touches and 10 inside 50s. For the Bulldogs, Adam Guglielmana was excellent in defence, holding enigmatic Subi goal kicker Shane Yaron to just 2. Jamie Seller was the top goal scorer for the Souths. He kicked 2 to go along with 16 touches, 9 of which were marks. And leading the pack for disposals was South Rio's Ashton Hams with 32 possessions in an impressive performance for the former West Coast player. Next week, Subiaco and Claremont face off at the Showgrounds on Saturday, while South Fremantle vs West Perth at HBF Arena. Claire Dirl for the Monday Waffle.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
All right, gang, it is that time of week again. Time to get our tips out.
For the boys.
I said, get our tips out for the boys. Now, Josh, we both tipped the Royals to beat the Sharks at Medibank Stadium earlier in the podcast, so we can tick that one off. Now, the early game at 1:10 at the Showgrounds, as Mark Redding said before, is Claremont hosting the Lions. Now, on paper, looks like a pretty regulatory win for the all-conquering Subiaco.
I don't know. I think it's a bit of a blockbuster, isn't it?
I think
two
it is.
Two form teams in the comp at the moment. It could go
absolutely
either way.
Now, I've seen, because I am the ground announcer down at Claremont. Now,
shameless bit of self-promotion there.
Yeah, if you want to hear some velvety tones, get down to the Showgrounds. No. My point is, I've seen a few teams go down there this year, and it's an odd place to play. It's where the Royal Show is. So you've got, like, the show bag stands at one end of the ground, and then the big Ferris wheel at one end. It's quite bizarre, and I don't know what this has to say about the Showgrounds.
You could say it promotes a carnival atmosphere, though, couldn't you?
It does, and I think it's thrown a few teams this year.
Yeah.
I think it's got something to do with Claremont turning the Showgrounds into some sort of fortress. So I'm going to go with the Tigers. I've got a feeling.
Okay, well, I said it could go either way, but I'm going to pick the favourites. I'm going to pick Subi because I do think the Lions will be just too strong. But I would not be surprised one iota if your tip comes through.
Yeah, no, you were just teasing it.
Yeah, I was trying to get you to go with Claremont,
and
then I could just pick pick Subi.
And I got sucked right in. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for paying.
No, I'm going to stick with it.
Top for a reason.
The next game we'll look at is at Leth Lane Park, the Demons hosting Swan.
Whoever
Districts.
The Demons are playing.
Yeah, me too. All right, next. Yeah. HBF Arena, also at 2:15. The Falcons had the bye this weekend, so they're pretty fresh, you'd hope, hosting the Bulldogs. Good game.
Yeah, another good game of
another
footy,
game. God, this year has just been the best year of Waffle football, and we've been so lucky. But, yeah, look, interesting game. I reckon, well, West Perth need a win. West Perth need a win because at the moment on the ladder, you've got occupying second spot, you've got the Falcons, the Thunder, and the Bulldogs. Now, West Perth have a game in hand over Peel and South Frio. So, if the Falcons win, they'll go a game clear in second spot. So, a lot at stake for the Falcons, and I think because of that reason, they're going to get the job done over the Doggies.
I mean, the week before the bye, they had that narrow win against Peel, I think it was. And
yep.
I think we saw yesterday how good they can be.
Yep.
And I think based on that, I know the Doggies were playing running premiers this weekend, but I think based on form, I'm going to go with West Perth as well.
Yep. Well, I mean, the Falcons have lost to the Royals and then beat Peel Thunder narrowly. So, I mean, yeah. You'd hope for Falcons fans and myself they'd be in better form, but I think they're going to get a kick up the bum, or have done, on the training track over the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, Falcons for me.
Another one, though, that I wouldn't be surprised if it went the other way at all.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. As has gone this season so far.
It's been tough to pick, hasn't it?
It
well,
has.
For, well, for everyone else in the comp.
See what you did there. A nice segue. Now, as we said at the top of the show, Joshua, you are on top of the tipping competition we have here at Monday Waffle HQ. You are 4 points clear, 5 points clear. What does that say? 5 points clear of second, which is Claire. So if you lose it from here,
yeah, it's going to
be gutted.
Yeah, I'd be shattered. I mean, no, look, I don't want to get overconfident here. I'm in a strong position. I'm a bit of a... They're calling me Mystic Money down at the tracks.
When you say they, you mean you?
Yeah, I mean me. Yeah. Sportsbet won't talk to me. No. TAB won't let me in the door because they... Yeah. I'm basically robbing the joint any time I go place a bet down on the waffle.
I've never heard that much shit come out of someone's mouth in my whole life. No, but fair play to you. You're on top of the ladder. Claire's in second on 27 points, and then it's myself and Jesse on 26 points, and then it sort of peters away there. We got Josie and Mark on 23, Jared on 22, and Nicole, who has left us, she's on 21.
She's not dead, just to clarify. She's just in a different part of the world.
She got a job, so if anything, Nicole's the real winner.
Yeah, she is, but in the tipping comp, she is the Perth Demons.
Yes, exactly right. Hey, mate, it's been an absolute belter show.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Well done.
Should do this more often.
Yeah, well, I do it every bloody week, mate, so yeah, pull your finger.
I notice.
Turn your key, and speaking of turning keys, we'll see you next week for us to all turn our keys, and we'll catch you next week on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.